right. Thank you, Tom Looney. This is Nissan Dodger Talk. David Vasse with you until 8 o'clock right here on AM 570 LA Sports. And we will have Scott Alexander for you at Ronnie. Music's not necessary right now, Ronnie. That's the goodbye music. Ronnie is really salty. Super Bowl salty Ronnie Fazio this week. Everybody's salty around here on Super Bowl week. You could just hear it in their voices. Oh, Ronnie's now exasperated. Exasperated Ronnie Fazio. It's okay, Ronnie. We're on the air. We're doing good. Scott Alexander will join us. Yeah, there it is. There it is. Got to keep arm's distance length from everybody around here. It was very salty. You know, they should change it to a salty Super Bowl week here at AM 570. Scott Alexander will join us at 7:15. He is the newest member of the Dodgers bullpen, so we'll check in with him, and he's going to be a very big part of the Dodgers bullpen. The Dodgers acquired him in that three-way trade before Christmas from the Kansas City Royals, and he is a sinker ball pitcher, and that works well with the Dodgers having a very good defensive infield and the way they position everybody. He will fit in nicely for the Dodgers, and we'll hear from him. And also, at the bottom of the hour, I will share with you some of Matt Kemp's thoughts about his first go-around with the Dodgers. I had a chance to interview him when he was here with the Braves during the month of July at Dodger Stadium. And the reason why I want to share it again is because I think it gives a good insight on how much he yearned to be a Dodger again at that point in time. And here he is. And it goes back to what I've said, that Matt Kemp in Dodger camp will be a rejuvenated Matt Kemp. And I think that's evident by watching him on social media working out. He's dropped about 20 to 25 pounds, according to friends that I've talked to that know Matt. So he is motivated to prove everybody that his career is not finished, and I think he'll come back a more humble Matt Kemp. I mentioned this last night, that he's not a bad guy. Could you describe him as a diva the first time around with the Dodgers? I think that would be a good adjective if you're going to describe him as a diva, but I would not describe him as a bad guy. So I'll let you hear from Matt Kemp and what he told me, maybe the last time he has spoken to an LA media member, which was at the end of last July, and gave us a peek into his time with the Dodgers and what he thinks about Kenley Jansen, what he thinks about the success of Cody Bellinger and Corey Seager. So that'll be interesting to hear from as well. Now, the Dodgers going into spring training, there's only 12 days left until pitchers and catchers report to Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona. And some of the concerns the Dodgers have are not with their everyday lineup, but something we touched upon last night surrounding Yu Darvish and that whole conversation about bringing him back and why the Dodgers would want to bring him back. He would add length and quality length to the rotation, because right now you have two guys at the back end that would need extra days off, and you don't know how they'll hold up throughout an entire season. You got Hyunjin Ryu, who's trying to build back up after, I would call, a successful return last year from shoulder surgery, but he's not the same guy, and he needs extra days rest. And the built-in days off now in the regular season will help him and will help Kenta Maeda, no doubt about it. But the Dodgers, if you look at their rotation, they have Clayton Kershaw, Rich Hill, Alex Wood, Ryu Maeda, and then who do they have after that to fill in the blanks when necessary? Because we all know the Dodgers try to give their starters extra days rest whenever possible. Some of that burden is going to be eased by, like I mentioned, the extra days off in the regular season that the players negotiated for in the collective bargaining agreement. After those first five, you got Walker Buehler, Brock Stewart, Dennis Santana, and then maybe Ross Stripling, who the Dodgers are thinking about extending in spring training as a starter again, stretching him out to be an emergency starter. So will that work out? I'm not sure, but the Dodgers obviously don't demand that much from their starting pitchers. They only want five innings if your name's not Clayton Kershaw, so I'm sure Ross Stripling could do that still. I think he still has that in him. But Dave Roberts was on MLB Network Radio earlier today, and he kind of echoed the same sentiments. If you had to poke a hole in the Dodgers going into spring training, it might be with their starting staff.
You can always get better, and you can poke holes in any roster. I think one thing that people talk about is the pen, where you can always, and I think it's pitching, you know, across the board, where you can never have enough of it. So I think that if you're going to poke holes, I guess in our club, the pitching depth, starting pitching depth that we've had in years past, we probably don't have that right now. But guys like Julio Urias coming back, we got Walker Buehler coming, Ross Stripling, who can do that as well, Brock Stewart. So we have guys internally that can fill that role as far as depth. But having, you know, 7-8 starters deep like we've typically had, major league starters, we probably don't have that. And the pen, you can always get better in the pen, but I actually like our pitching depth in the pen.
Now, that's Dave Roberts and the way he views things. And, yes, they don't have proven commodities as far as starting pitchers in the major leagues. But what I do like is this time around, they have guys that are not on the downside of their careers and injury-plagued. They actually have guys that have a lot of upside. And that's exciting if you're a Dodger fan. You have guys that you're giving opportunities to that you've heard about for the last 3 or 4 years. We all want to see Brock Stewart take the next step, but Walker Buehler is a guy that pitched in college, had Tommy John surgery, and everybody has been raving about since the beginning of spring training last year. So isn't it time to give that guy an opportunity? Isn't it time to give a guy like Dennis Santana that opportunity instead of guys like, Chris Medlin or Brandon McCarthy or Scott Kazmir? That's something to be excited about, to have those type of guys as your fallback plans to fill in the blanks when necessary in the rotation. And the one thing people forget about, too, is the Dodgers are always working the phones and always trying to be creative to improve their roster. So this team, these pitchers that are right now 5, 6, 7 of them, are the fallback plans right now, are the guys right now, and the Dodgers, trust me, can make it through the first half with those guys. You know, you may not have, all-stars from 1 to 8, but some teams don't even have guys that are capable 1 to 3. So the Dodgers are ahead of the game in that respect and also are allowing themselves to have that wiggle room at the non-waiver trade deadline to be able to be players at the deadline to add more salary that if they do need a starting pitcher, they can add it via trade if they could get through the first half. And trust me, something I want to talk about more tonight is how the league basically is so easy for the Dodgers to win another 100 games considering how many teams are basically giving up and not even trying to attempt to make them any better. There's a few free agents on the market. I'm not sure if you notice that teams could improve themselves with, and they're not making any attempt to do that. So that's a different story, but the Dodgers are in good shape considering what their competition is in 2018. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. When we come back, your phone calls plus we'll hear from the newest relief pitcher for the Dodgers. Scott Alexander is next on AM570 LA Sports. This is Nissan Dodger Talk. David Vasse with you until 8 o'clock. 12 days until pitchers and catchers report to spring training in Camelback Ranch, Glendale, Arizona. And one of those men is our guest tonight. He is one of the newest members of the Dodgers pitching staff. He comes from the left side and also is a proud Northern California man himself. His entire, life up until college, he was Mr. Northern California from Santa Rosa, California. That's left-hander Scott Alexander. Scott, thanks a lot for calling in. Appreciate it.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem. And thanks to your college coach for putting us in touch. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah, old Gelsey, he gave me a call yesterday and said you guys were trying to track me down.
Yeah, I never knew Sonoma State would come through for me that way. So you went to high school in Santa Rosa. You went to Sonoma State for college, which is extremely Northern California. So we all know you're in Sacramento Kings country, but did you grow up being a Giants fan as well?
Yeah, I grew up, my family was a Giants fan. I was Giants and A's. I was just a baseball fan, so I like both. But my family and most of my friends are all Giants fans.
Were you at the Cow Palace, Arco Arena, with the cowbells with your family when the Lakers would play up there?
No. I never caught too many games, but, yeah, no.
Have you been able to talk to any of your teammates or Rick Honeycutt since the trade has gone down? It's been a while now to get your bearings and get your head wrapped around it. Have you been able to talk to any of those guys, or are you waiting until you see them at camp?
I met a couple of guys at FanFest. Didn't have, you know, too long to really get to know anyone or talk too much. But I did get a chance to speak with Honeycutt for a little bit. He called me the other day. We spoke for a while and, you know, kind of got to talk with him and just kind of got to know him a little bit and just kind of like the initial touch base and kind of just welcome me to the team, to the staff, and kind of just gave me the quick rundown a little bit.
Since you were at FanFest, there was over 35,000 fans there. What was your impression about the fan base and the excitement for this team coming off a World Series?
Oh, I could tell the fans are excited. It was a lot of fun being out there. Being a new guy, not that many guys, not everyone knew who I was, but there were still some fans that were there that they were pretty excited and kind of got me a little pumped up thinking about it. But yeah, you know, you could tell that everyone's excited. Obviously from how close they were last year and then, you know, basically having pretty much the whole team coming back, obviously they're expecting to go, you know, to return. You can just kind of feel the excitement in the air and it kind of gets you excited knowing that, you know, spring's just around the corner.
Are you a guy that watches baseball after your season is done, and did you have a chance to watch that 7-game World Series?
You know, this year, I didn't watch that much. You know, you kind of, the season's over and you kind of just want to unwind and you're kind of upset yourself that you're not there. But when the World Series came, I know that the first couple games were kind of, you know, real good games, kind of going back and forth, and there was kind of like a buzz going around about those games. And sure enough, you know, so I started watching from there on, and it seemed like every game was just a nail biter, back and forth, and I'm sure it was a lot of fun to be a part of that. It was a lot of fun to watch it.
Yeah, hopefully you're part of it this year too, Scott. Scott Alexander is our guest, and you're coming from an organization that recently has had a lot of success going to back-to-back World Series, winning one, and a big reason why was their bullpen. Being around that bullpen and being a big part of the bullpen last year, what are some of the takeaways of being around such an elite group of relief pitchers?
Yeah, you know, I was fortunate enough to be able to be up there when there was a lot of great relief pitchers. They had Greg Holland, Wade Davis, Soria Herrera, and so on. And you know, I was able to watch those guys just kind of the way they prepared and kind of how they went about their business. And one of the things that I noticed the most is that they just all just had a different kind of confidence in themselves. And it's something that, you know, it kind of, as a sitting down there in the bullpen around those guys, you can feel it and you can sense it and you see the work they put in. And then, you know, when they go out there, it's just about having fun and competing. And that's kind of, I think, you know, what I think leads to a successful bullpen. And I know that last year, the Dodgers, I think they were the best bullpen in all of baseball last year or one of them. So, and they have, you know, obviously, if not the best closer in baseball, one of them. So, you know, just happy to be a part of it. Looking forward to helping in any way I can, and just kind of excited, you know, to kind of get going and see where we can go this year.
Scott, when you're around guys that you mention and are at the top of their game and they have so much confidence, do you feed off the confidence of those guys when you're in that bullpen with them?
Well, I think, you know, as a teammate, you know, watching those guys, you see them how they are, and it gives you confidence knowing that they're going to, you know, they're putting themselves in the best position themselves. But I think that's something that you kind of get yourself, you know, the confidence that you have to have is something that I think that it comes with, you know, the ups and downs of pitching and the failures and the successes, and you kind of whittle your way through and get to a point where, you know, you kind of figure, hey, I can do this. You know, you work so hard to get to this point. You're at the very highest level. You don't want to, you know, shy away now. So I think that has a lot to do with it well, too. But in general, yeah, I think, you know, just confidence is something that I learned a lot from those guys and something that I think is key to being successful.
Scott Alexander is our guest. He's the newest member of the Dodgers bullpen, and he'll be sharing that bullpen with the best closer in baseball, and that's Kenley Jansen. And, Scott, I know, like you mentioned, you were with some pretty good closers out there in Kansas City, but Kenley right now is seems to be unstoppable and seems to really spoil everybody in Los Angeles with the way he closes out games with seemingly a lot of ease. We know it's not that easy, but he makes it look that easy. What are your feelings about being part of a bullpen with him, and how anxious are you to see how he goes about his business?
Well, I mean, definitely, you know, he's obviously, like I said, probably the best closer in baseball right now. So anytime you get to play around guys like that, it's always exciting. You get to kind of, like you said, see how they go about the business, kind of get to a little bit of their personality and just kind of get to see them off the field. But then you get to also see them go about themselves and handle their work. But yeah, I think for as a bullpen, you know, when you have a guy like that, I think obviously the goal is just get the ball to him and keep the lead or keep it close and you know, let him be the difference maker. So I think as a bullpen, that's always the goal, especially when you got a guy like that that's so good at the back end of the bullpen.
Now, you haven't you faced some adversity in your career as well. You had similar shoulder surgery to what Julio Urias is going through right now. How have you been able to recover from it? And I know you're out there in Arizona with Julio. What advice have you been able to give him about trying to come back from a surgery like that?
Yeah, that's funny. We were in the booth together at FanFest, and we were talking about it. It came up, and we actually found out we had very similar surgeries, like you said. And I was telling him, hey, you know what? It's going to be okay. It's not a big deal. I had the same kind of surgery. It's just kind of wear and tear of pitching. It just happens, and it's one of those things where, you know, all pitchers got something. And for the injury that I had, and I think that he had, it's, you know, you're lucky that's not a labrum or something more serious. And I basically just told him to just take it slow. And I think he's got already a pretty good grasp on the rehab process and understands that he doesn't want to rush it from what I've talked to him. And that's the key, is just not rushing it, because, you know, when your body's ready, it's ready, and it'll let you know.
Yeah, you always hear from pitchers that the elbow surgery, Tommy John surgery, is definitely serious, but when you hear shoulder surgery, you get a little bit more concerned for a pitcher. So this is a little bit different than the labrum surgery we all hear about, right?
Yeah, it's just more of a range of motion thing. You kind of what I have is just a little bit of scar tissue I developed on one of the ligaments there, and they are tendons, I'm not sure, and they basically just snipped it, released it, gave you a little bit more room to work with. So it should be a simple, easy recovery, just a little bit of time.
Hey, you're giving Dodger fans hope, because he's a really popular pitcher and everybody was excited to see him burst onto the scene. So Scott Alexander already giving hope to the fan base of Los Angeles.
I don't want to get in trouble like going ahead and already you know, pre-diagnosing people, but that was just my experience.
No, you know, you've said it on the radio, so he's officially cleared to be back on the mound this year. Scott, yeah. Thanks a lot for calling in. Appreciate it, and look forward to meeting you in person out there at spring training. Thanks a lot for the time.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
There he goes, Scott Alexander, one of the newest members of the Dodger bullpen. Appreciate his time, and I thought that was interesting what he had to say, that he had similar surgery to Julio Urias, and obviously all of us are always skeptical from what we hear when it comes to a player's health, because teams are not usually very forthcoming with the truth. But to hear it from a player that went through the same surgery as Julio did, and to say that really it's more about range of motion more so than a severe injury to your shoulder, like Hyunjin Ryu, for example, that is a breath of fresh air if you're a Julio Urias fan, and actually makes you feel as optimistic as Dave Roberts was earlier today when he was on MLB Network Radio saying that Julio Urias may be in play to help the Dodgers out this season. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go out to the phones for the first time tonight. Let's go out to L.A. Scott, you're on with David Vasse. What's up, Scott?
Hey, Dave, how's it going? I just want to say I really like the Scott Alexander pickup. I'm looking forward to seeing him and Julio this year. But I do want to see us keep you, and I was wondering...
I'm not going anywhere.
Darvish, I mean.
Oh, all right. Sorry, cheap joke.
That's all right. But I want to keep him and see if that's possible to keep him and Kemp. And if we do, what does that mean for Andrew Toles? Because I definitely want to see him back.
All right. Toles is not going anywhere, Scott. The front office wants to give him an opportunity because of what they saw and what we all saw before he injured his knee last year. But to make Darvish fit on this team underneath the luxury tax threshold, it probably would take trading Matt Kemp. And at the very least, it would take trading Yasmani Grandal. And I know the Dodgers have some catching depth, but it's young. You got Kyle Farmer. He would be teamed up with Austin Barnes. And defensively, Kyle is not as good as Grandal. So that's dicey. And I feel like the Dodgers are a little bit boxed in because of their commitments to players that they need on the team this year. And I believe that they have proven that if they do need a pitcher at the deadline, they can make a deal to get him. So, like I said, Darvish would be a great luxury to have, and I believe part of the reason why he hasn't signed to this point is because he's hoping to see the Dodgers maybe move the chairs around a little bit to see if they can make some room for him, but time is running out, and we'll see whether or not it happens. But I will say this, do not close the door on Darvish and the Dodgers until we see that he is officially signed with another team. And the Cubs and the Brewers and the Twins are all in on him. They want him, and obviously he has not agreed to terms for whatever reason, maybe because he's waiting to see if the Dodgers can find a way to get him on the team. But it's going to be very difficult, especially with the lack of movement free agent-wise on this winter. So how are you going to trade a guy like Grandal making $9 million when teams aren't even spending on the free agents out there? That's very problematic for the Dodgers. Let's go out to Gardena. Manuel, you're on Nissan Dodger Talk. Hi, Manny. Manny, you there? Oh, Manny. Bad phone, Manny. Call back. You're one of our reliable guys there. It's like Cal Ripken not answering the bell right there. Manuel and Gardena not answering the bell tonight. Hey, we're going to take a quick time out here on Nissan Dodger Talk. We're going to continue the conversation of why this winter has not been going the way the players and the fans have wanted it to go. And also, too, Rob Manfred is back down on the pitch clock. We'll fill you in, and we'll let you hear from Matt Kemp as well. So a lot more to come in the final half hour of Nissan Dodger Talk with David Vasse on AM 570 LA Sports. Hope you're having a great Thursday night out there. Maybe you're headed to Staples Center for the Killers concert, like Andre Ethier is tonight. Yeah, I want to be at the Killers concert tonight. Too popular for Ronnie Fascio. I'm stuck with Dwayne McDonald, our producer-engineer from Dodger Baseball. He came in tonight. I'm stuck with him tonight instead of the Killers. But at least we have Bruce and the Pink Cadillac, and we have you, and we have Dodger Baseball right around the corner. Dwayne, when's the first spring training game?
February 23rd.
Yeah, that's right, against the Chicago White Sox. That should be fun. Fun spring training so we could size up all the tank teams out there in Major League Baseball, and there's plenty of them. And I know the owners are meeting here in Los Angeles. Maybe they should look in the mirror and ask themselves, are they really doing the league a service by having their teams tank and not compete this year? Because really, if you look at it, especially in the National League, they are giving the Dodgers a red carpet back to the World Series. You look at the National League East. The Mets think they're competing. They're really not. The Braves have not signed one Major League free agent this year. You look at who else? The Miami Marlins. Are you kidding me? That's self-explanatory right there. How about in the Central? The Pirates sold off their franchise player in Andrew McCutchen. They traded Gerrit Cole. They're not trying. The Cincinnati Reds, they got Joey Votto, and that's about it. Maybe Zach Cozart left his donkey. That's the only two things the Reds have out there. And you got the Cubs that are going to run away with it. The Brewers are at least trying, but their payroll was nothing. And everybody's acting like they're opening up the pocketbooks by just being competitive. And then you look at the National League West, you have the worst team in baseball, the San Francisco Giants, who signed Evan Longoria, who was good 10 years ago. And you have Andrew McCutchen, who I like and will be better for them, but they still have a very underwhelming bullpen. That was their biggest problem last year, and also a big question mark in the rotation. So they're not much better, and the Padres are still talking about their Class A team. So there are not many teams that are trying to get better in baseball. And I think instead of worrying about a pitch clock, Rob Manfred should be worried about his team's tanking and the product on the field not being very good. Because like we mentioned, you know, it's going to be when the Dodgers roll into Pittsburgh or Cincinnati or Miami, it's going to be like the Harlem Globetrotters showing up and the Washington Generals on the other side. I mean, that's really what it's going to be like. And for me, that's not fun. For you as a Dodger fan, maybe you like that. But when those teams come to Dodger Stadium and you're trying to pick out the tickets and the games you want to go to, are those really going to be the games you want to go see? I don't think so. I think you're going to pick the Giants. You're going to pick the Cubs series. You may pick the Arizona Diamondbacks. Maybe. Those guys have never really been a big draw, but maybe in September you will. The Washington Nationals you'll pick. Those are the only four teams you really want to see the Dodgers play at Dodger Stadium. So how is that good for the sport? 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. I don't know. Maybe you enjoy that as a Dodger fan. We only care about the Dodgers winning and winning the World Series, and really the rest of the National League has done a very nice job of making their job easier to do that. Let's go out to Pasadena. Mark, you're on Nissan Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Mark, do you want to see the Dodgers just be the Globetrotters and everybody else be their foil in baseball?
Every season is a different season. There's ups and downs, Dave. You never know how it's going to play out.
Okay, so you'll call back in June or July and tell me that the Reds are competitive and the Pirates are competitive and the Marlins are really competitive, right?
No, they're not doing the job to win their divisions, but the Dodgers are. And I'm telling you, we need you, Darvish. I have the luxury.
Why? The league stinks. You could roll in there with the five guys you got right now and probably get to the NLCS.
That's a bad attitude, man. You need to make your team the best it can be, and I think the Dodgers
it's pretty good.
With you.
It's pretty good, Mark. It's a very good team.
Hang on, Dave. I saw Yu Darvish pitch 2 years ago.
He's a good pitcher, Mark. Mark, he's a good pitcher, but the fact is they don't need him to get to the NLCS. The league is not very good, and everybody's freaking out over the fact that Dodgers may not re-sign Yu Darvish. Well, what if they're able to pull off a trade for a pitcher of equal talent at the trade deadline? Because trust me, they'll be able to get through the first half with the first five guys and Walker Buehler and Brock Stewart and these other guys. Trust me, they'll be able to get through the National League, which is soft as putty this year. Let's go out to Boyle Heights. Gaston, what's up?
Hey, DV, reporting for duty. Where's my brother, the Grandioso of Gardena?
I don't know, man. What do you got? Hey, are you with me? You're a true blue fan. Do you view things more positively, or do you feel like it's just as good if the Dodgers beat up on a league that's not very good?
Glass half full, glass half empty. I'm a more glass half full type of guy, but especially when it comes to the Dodgers, you know, there's always good. But hey, you know, Chris Archer's still out in the wings there, and they're talking about the Brewers not wanting them, and who knows? I know they're making they're bolstering up for the season, but you know, we'll see what happens. You know, the Dodgers are good as glue. You know, just a few minor adjustments here and there, with or without Darvish.
Trust so, exactly, you know? Gaston. The Dodgers' problems are not as big as these other teams' problems, and you know, everybody's freaking out over Yu Darvish. Trust me, he's not a deal breaker for the Dodgers winning their sixth consecutive NL West championship, especially if the Arizona Diamondbacks don't bring back J.D. Martinez, which right now it doesn't look like they will. Let's go out to Santa Clarita. Tony, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Tony.
Hey, David, you talked about the Dodgers' National League schedule, but what about their interleague? Are they going to play like the Astros or the Yankees? Who we got for interleague?
Yeah, they got the AL West this year, so be very scared of the Oakland A's. Be very scared of the Texas Rangers. And the Astros come to Dodger Stadium, and the Angels should be improved. So, you know, the Angels pitching, I'm not sold on, and their bullpen is not very good. So they could hype up Ohtani all they want and Mike Trout and Pujols. I just don't see them being they're always going to compete with Mike Socia, but I just don't see how they're going to be better leaps and bounds. But, yeah,
what
to answer your question, they're playing the AL West this year.
What month is the Astros?
Oh, come on. I mean, I'm not your personal pocket schedule here, Tony.
All right.
I'm just kidding. I'll look it up for you. I'll look it up for you. Don't worry. Keep listening, Tony. Yeah, if you're going to start asking me what time some guys are coming into town, I don't know that off the top of my head. Jeez, I'm taking it day by day, like every player tells us, right? Day by day, moment after moment, right? We'll look that up for you and find out when the Houston Astros are coming to Los Angeles. Maybe Dwayne McDonald has already examined the league. August. The Astros are coming in August. Wow, look at Dwayne examining the schedule like that. It's like the NFL schedule. Dwayne gets really excited over that. August 3rd to the 5th, the Houston Astros will be at Dodger Stadium for that World Series matchup, rematch. Let's go out to Montclair. Let's go out to Gilbert. You're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Gilbert.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for taking my call, man.
No problem.
I'm 100% with you. It would be wonderful to have you Darvish back. It's not a necessity. They proved that last year. They didn't need him to even get to the NLCS.
Well,
they needed him to get through the
I think they needed him.
No, he pitched tremendously, obviously. I mean, he shut both the Diamondbacks and the Cubs down. But it's not like Alex Wood or Hill or Kershaw didn't pitch well in those series either. But anyhow, I'd love to have him back. I don't think, it's a necessity like you said. My question is, trading Kemp, if it's a possibility, would they even attach someone like Alex Verdugo? I know they're high on him, but how many outfielders do we need?
Yeah, exactly, Gilbert. If you're able to get a guy like Chris Archer or somebody that can help you now, why not attach a prospect or two? What about Yadier Alvarez too? I think may or may not blossom into a pitcher. Who knows? He throws hard. He could be attractive to other teams. So yeah, attaching a prospect or two to Matt Kemp is not something that's out of the question for the Dodgers to do. The fact is right now it's very hard to make any deals because everybody is waiting for the next shoe to drop in free agency, and it hasn't happened yet. And the biggest reason why, there's not too many teams that want to spend money because they're not competing this year. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Speaking of Matt Kemp, I wanted to share with you the conversation I had with Matt last July when the Braves came to Dodger Stadium. And it was a great conversation with him because he had a chance to reflect on his time with the Dodgers and playing in front of you, which he really enjoyed. And I think now that he is back with the Dodgers, at least for now, it's interesting to hear how maybe his view coming back to the Dodgers may be different than when he left.
A lot of memories come back. I had a lot of great times here, a lot of good seasons, making the playoffs a bunch of times. The fans, man, they're amazing. I don't know what else to say. They treated me with a lot of love. And even till now, I go out to dinner and, Dodger fans are still, telling me they miss me and they appreciate everything I did for them. So, of course, I miss L.A. But, we get older, time goes on, and I'm in Atlanta right now.
Do you think when it's all said and done, you'll remember your career and you'll remember yourself more as a Dodger than with any other team?
I mean, for sure. I mean, this is where I became a man. I'm a little 21-year-old kid from Oklahoma, trying to make it in the big leagues. This is where I grew. This is where I started my career. I thought I was going to end my career here, but it's a business. Things happen. But I still love L.A. I still love the fans here, and it's a great organization that I was a part of.
When you see some of your former teammates, in particular Kenley Jansen, when you talk about growing from a boy to a man, what are your thoughts about where he's reached?
I'm so happy for him, man, because I knew he had it in him. From the time I saw him pitch for the first time, he didn't really know what he was doing. He just had a great arm, and he just was striking people out. But, he came into his own as an all-star, and he's done amazing things here in L.A., and it's amazing to watch him be a catcher to a pitcher and now an all-star pitcher. So it's cool to see that.
I wish you were still in the clubhouse because he thinks he's a big baller now because Brand Jordan sponsors him.
Yeah, he actually sent me some shoes over and signed them for me. So I'm happy for him right there. Hey, man, he's in L.A. He's doing big things. And, companies like that want superstars. So Kenley has finally become a superstar.
Matt Kemp is our guest. And, Matt, I'm sure you've noticed Corey Seager and Cody Bellinger and what they've done and the attention they've gotten. But back in the day, it was you and Andre Ethier that was on the cover and everybody wanting a piece up. What were those times like with you and Dre and all the attention and people pulling you guys in every direction?
Oh, man, we had some great times, man. We couldn't say no, man. It there was so much going on out here. I can only imagine now with Cody and those guys, what they have to go through. You know, they're doing some amazing things. You know, this is Cody's first year in the big leagues. He's doing some things that none of us have ever done. And Corey, he's amazing as well. Just watching him play, the young guys, they're fun to watch. And, you know, I just told them keep going, keep grinding. And it's fun out here, especially when you're playing good and things are going good. It's fun to be a Dodger when you got the city rocking like it's rocking right now. They're playing some pretty good baseball.
Hey, you made it rock a lot yourself. And maybe you can settle a debate that always goes on in L.A. Which was the best Dodger team you played on? Was it 08? Was it 09? Was it 13? Which was the best?
I don't know, man. We had some really good teams. I thought we were going to win a couple times, man. We just came up short. I think all the teams were good, man. We all had the pieces to win. We just couldn't. We couldn't get past the Phillies, and we couldn't get past the Cardinals, man. It is what it is, man. Time goes on, but, you know, they have a really good team. They're fun to watch. It's fun to be here. I mean, the atmosphere is a little different here now. I think it's way more loud. I think it's louder than it's been when I was here. It's amazing to see what they're doing with the stadium.
Hey, how many more years do you think you got left in you? Because you're still productive. I know a lot of people counted you out a couple of years ago, but you look up at the end of the season, you've got 30 home runs, you got 100 runs driven in. How much more do you want to play this game?
Until God tells me it's done. I'm gonna ride this thing till the wheels fall off. I'm gonna ride this thing till the teams tell me I can't play no more and they don't want me. You know how it is.
Well, when it ends, you'll be back here for Old Timers Day, right? Will you be back here?
Oh my God.
You'll be the old timer.
I don't want to think about that, man.
You and Dre will be coming out here with your walkers on Old Timers Day.
I don't want to think about that, man. Yeah, we are getting old. I was talking to Dre yesterday. We're getting old, man. But no, I'm not done yet. I still got a lot to prove.
I know you do. It's always great seeing you.
Yes, sir.
I think you miss me more now that you don't see me every day.
Oh, man, your swag is still horrible.
What are you talking about? Look at this.
You still can't dress.
I wear jeans once in a while now. I'll try to bust that out for you one of these last two.
I need to be a little bit more fitted.
Fitted?
Yeah, you need to be a little bit more too baggy.
All right.
Yeah, it's 2017, man.
Yeah, I know.
We wear clothes that fit now.
I remember your skinny jeans like it was yesterday. Super Smedium.
Yeah, I know, right?
There he is, Matt Kemp, and that was our conversation last July when the Braves were in town, and he finished with 19 home runs. But when he was healthy the first 2 months of the season last year, he hit 10 home runs and drove in 30 runs. And just talking to people that know Matt really well, he came to the realization that he's got to change his body to, at this point in time in his career, to be able to take some of the burden off his hamstrings. And if you follow him on social media, you see that he's in better shape than what he was last year at this time. And, you know, and you hear him reflect back on his time with the Dodgers. That's why I believe this time around, Matt Kemp is going to be a different type of Matt Kemp, is going to be a humbled Matt Kemp, is going to be a hungry Matt Kemp. And I think a lot of people are going to be surprised by what they see from Matt Kemp in spring training. Let's go out to Whittier. George, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, George.
Hey, Dave, how you doing? Good speaking to you.
Thank you.
To hear all the insight, you know, with all the players. That's something we don't hear. You know, one thing with Matt Kemp, it seems like he's more mature this time around. Maybe if he was mature the first time around, maybe he'd still be on the team. I mean, he's a great guy, good for the clubhouse. It's just, I guess we're glad to have him back, and I think he's got a lot to prove. One thing I wanted to mention to you, Dave, is you're close to the team. How's the feeling in there? Because last year they were really high-fivey, selfie, you know, like, I kind of want to see that kind of stop. It's business time now. It's like we've kind of got close so many years and too many, like, little celebrations in the clubhouse to where we haven't won anything yet. So I think maybe they need to take maybe a different approach.
George, they got to the World Series last year, George. They're doing something right. And when it got time to the postseason, every team changes their demeanor and gets a little bit more locked in. But it's a 162-game season. You got to have fun.
Yeah, you do. But, I mean, we've been getting to this point every year now. And it's
no, we haven't. No,
well,
they haven't. They haven't. It's been 29 years before they got to the World Series. They have not been to that point.
Yeah, but you kind of seen this coming with this team. This team was already due to make the World Series like with the last couple years. So I just think maybe they need to take a little different approach. Maybe Dave Roberts too. Maybe like for example, the stolen bases and manufacturing of runs, like, I think we need to change it up just a little bit more to get more of a full, complete style baseball team.
All
I
right,
think the
George.
Dodgers are kind of dimensional a little bit.
All right, George. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. I can't disagree with you more. They got to the World Series for the first time in 29 years. Yeah, they came up a little bit short, but they did achieve something that no Dodger team had achieved since 1988. Let's go out to Reseda. Alan, you're on Nissan Dodger Talk with David Vasse. What's up, Alan?
Hey, how's it going, David?
You tell me, man.
I was listening to Matt Kemp there, and that reminded me, I haven't heard much from about Andre Ethier. Has he been signed anywhere, or has he been invited to a spring training?
No, he has not been signed. He is still a free agent. He's actually at the Killers concert tonight at Staples Center, so if you're deciding to go there, you might run into him there. But he is he's wants to play, but he's not just going to take chump change to play. He feels that after what he's proven in this league, he deserves something more than just a minor league or invite to a big league camp.
That might be tough, though, since he wasn't very productive the last couple of years. I don't know that anyone's going to sign him to a big contract until he proves himself again.
Yeah, not a big contract, Alan, but you look at what he did in the World Series in the postseason as a pinch hitter and spot starts. I would argue that he gave maybe some of the most competitive at-bats for the Dodgers in the postseason.
I liked him. I hope he gets. I hope he gets signed somewhere. I just think he might end up having to be invited somewhere and then kind of prove himself during spring training.
All right, Alan. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. Let's. Oh, that's it. That's it. I'm sorry. No more phone calls. That went by fast. Hope you enjoyed hearing from Scott Alexander, one of the newest members of the Dodger bullpen, and I hope you really enjoyed hearing Matt Kemp and him reflecting on the first time around with the Dodgers, because if he's in camp with the Dodgers, which I believe it looks like he will be, a lot of people are going to be surprised by what they see, not only on the field, but the attitude he's going to bring into that clubhouse and the new Matt Kemp. I'm not going to say he's a new Matt Kemp, because he's the same guy, but at a different point in time in his life and obviously a different stage in his career. But when he's healthy, he's still one of the more productive offensive players out there. And the Dodgers, with their information as far as defensive shifting goes, they can make things a lot easier for him in left field. So don't be shocked when Matt Kemp does well in spring training. And we'll see what happens from there. Thanks to Ronnie Fascio for his help. Thanks to Rudy Jr. over there. Thanks for all your help. And who else is in there? Anybody else? All right. Thanks to Dwayne McDonald for hanging out too tonight. We're going out. Have a great night, everybody. See you tomorrow night. Another Dodger Talk to close out the week at 7 o'clock right here on AM 570 LA Sports. See ya.